Well, God's sovereignty emphasizes the fact that he is in control. I mentioned Ephesians 1:11. Paul writes, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." Wow. I mean, the Greek word that's translated everything means everything. Hence, it's translated everything, and we just shouldn't minimize that, because everything is all-inclusive. So, really? God is working out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will? This is, a sovereign God who, even when he fully recognizes, and he is the creator of human free choice, there's a startling passage in Acts 4 where God talks about, in a very similar one in Acts 2, where, Herod and Pilate and the Jews and the Gentiles were all, matched up against God. They had determined that, in keeping with Peter and his sermon and drawing from Psalm 2 and the nations rebelling against God's anointed one, Jesus. But then who ends up succeeding in this? The passage I'm thinking of, Acts 4, 27 and 28, which I just turned to. Here's what the early Christians actually prayed after John and James were released from prison. It says, "Truly in this city," John and Peter, "truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do," and then you think, to do what? Well, they're rebelling against God. For crying out loud, they crucified Jesus. It was the most horrible thing that has ever happened. So right when you expect it to say, to do what? Well, to do what they wanted to do, to kill the Messiah. But what it says is, along with the Gentiles, the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. So on the one hand, did Herod and Pilate and the Jews and the Gentiles have the ability to act differently? Well, yes and no. I mean, sure, they were exercising their genuine choice, but God knew in advance exactly what choices they would make, and so they could not have acted differently to the extent that they could have thwarted the plan that God predestined. So yes, they did what they wanted to do, which was sinful. And God can even take the sinful desires of people. I mean, think of Joseph and his brothers.
Yeah.
And then this whole sovereignty thing, I think, is really wrapped up well in Genesis 50, verse 30, where Joseph looks at the brothers who betrayed him, who threw him into a pit as a teenage boy. I mean, imagine the trauma. He's taken off as a slave to Egypt, and all these years later, he says to them in Genesis 50, verse 20, "You intended it for evil, but God intended it for good, to save many lives, including their lives." And so here's this remarkable statement that captures the sovereignty of God. Yes, his brothers were free will choosing sinners who betrayed him, and their choices were meaningful and consequential and horrible, and they will be accountable for them. But God didn't just make lemonade out of the lemons. He literally intended it for good. Well, you can only intend something for good when your hand is in some sense